Let's turn to Psalm 25. And we'll read from verses 4 to 15. Psalm 25, 4 to 15. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and your loving kindness, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your loving kindness, remember me, for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in justice. He teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is the Lord who fears? Who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way he should choose. His soul will abide in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make them know his covenant. My eyes are continually toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you, God, for your love, God, and for continually speaking to us, and for just always desiring for us to see more of you, God. We thank you for your revelation, God. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you for your guidance, Lord. Father, as I speak today, may you speak, God, and just minister to us, Lord, and we thank you. We lift these things all up in your Son's most precious name. Amen. So, as I explained last week, I've been going through the Psalms and for the past few weeks, and it seems like every time that I go through the Psalms or every time I open up to do my daily devotions, God is continually saying the same thing to me over and over again. And he's always been talking about this theme of direction and needing guidance, and always asking him, Lord, which way should I choose? Where should I go? What decisions should I make? And I'm sure this resonates with a lot of you. We always have to make decisions in our lives, and whether we're in school and, you know, we're about to graduate and we need to decide, oh, what should we do for a job? Where should I look? How should I take a year off? Or even if you're already working and you're deciding to, is this job the right place for me? Did I make the right career choice? And you can even go into relationships, you know, who should I date? Should I date this person? I know that when I started, when I started talking with Cora, I would always ask myself, and I would ask my friends who pray for me, like, should I be even talking to her? You know, which is kind of weird, because if you want to get to know someone, what do you need to do? You need to talk to this person and not stalk them on Facebook. I didn't do that. I'm just saying, for some people. None of you here. Anyways, I think there are times where we get so driven by the need to make that right choice, to always pick that right path. And, you know, because we get bombarded by the world, like, you know, this is how you should be doing things. You should be doing things a certain way in order to maximize all the skills, all the talents that you have. And we get so... how should I say? We're so driven by that need to maximize whatever we have. I have this much. I should be able to get this much return on my investment, right? And in that way, our lives become some sort of investing game where we put in this much. We know we should be getting, you know, X amount in return because this is what other people have been getting. And we do everything that we can so that we don't lose out, as if life owes something back to us. And, you know, we all know that that's really not God's way. I mean, even for me, I've struggled with this for many years. As I left school, I didn't really have any idea what to do, but being young, I didn't really care so much because I had a job lined up, and then I eventually ended up working at Cathay for a number of years. But one of the things I always struggled with was when my friends would ask me, hey, are you going to be working at Cathay forever? I'm like, I don't know. I'm trying to look for a job. And they would ask, well, what do you want to do? Like, what is your passion, or what are you good at? And I would be like, I have no idea. And I was so afraid that I wouldn't make the right choice that I ended up not choosing. I ran away from it. And yeah, because I just didn't want to make that wrong choice. What if my life didn't turn out how it should have? And you know, what do I choose? There's all these choices. And you know, maybe that's one of the curses of being a millennial. But in that process, God has been telling me to let go. And you know, maybe that's why he continually brings up this theme whenever I open up Psalms. See, in verses 4 and 5, it's very clear as to what we should be doing. It says, Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. Our hearts should be focused on what God wants and really taking ourselves out of what we think our lives should be. Now, I'm not saying that you know we aren't seeking God in our hearts. Like I'm not saying that our intentions and our hearts are always to maximize what we have and put God off to the side. But now let's be honest. Aren't there times where we're seeking out God's will, or there are times where we want certain things and we say, oh, I'm seeking out God's will in this thing, right? Where we couch our intentions and our hearts as seeking out God, and we get so fixated on that one little thing that we lose sight of the bigger picture. See, I have these continual dreams, and when I'm in these dreams, it scares the heck out of me. So I'll explain to you my dream. I'm either on a bus to the airport, or I'm in the airport trying to catch a plane. But I'm always in a rush, and the reason I'm in a rush is because I've left my luggage at home, and I've had to go home to get my luggage, and then I've had to go back to the airport. And what ends up happening is I can't walk and I have to crawl on the ground, or I feel like I'm walking in molasses. Now, as a former flight attendant, not making your flight is like the worst thing you can do. So this brings out so much anxiety in me that I have to, that the only thing that I can think about during this dream is get the luggage and get to your flight. Do whatever you need to do. And the more I fixate on that, the more anxious I get, the slower it takes for me, the longer it takes for me to get to my plane. Now, I've had a lot of these dreams recently, and it's different, but they all have the same elements. And I was thinking about it, and there was a dream conference a few months back at church, and one of the things that the speakers were saying, you know, in your dreams, if you encounter a situation that might be scary, or he was telling his daughter this, if you encounter a scary situation, you know, go find your parents or go find Jesus. I'm like, oh, okay. So I started thinking about that. Okay. Maybe there are times in my dreams where I'm conscious and I realize, oh, I'm in a dream. I shouldn't freak out. And that's when I wake up actually. So I started thinking, okay, try doing that and look for Jesus. Don't fixate so much on your luggage. Don't fixate so much on missing the plane. But look for Jesus. Look for God. And so funny enough, I had this dream just last night. And in that dream, I was coming home from the airport, funny enough. So I got off the plane and I left my luggage, or I was on the bus. And we got to the bus stop, so I pulled out my luggage from the bus, and then I realized that this wasn't my stop, so I got back on the bus. Then I finally got off my stop, and I was like, oh crap, I left my luggage at the previous stop. And this is back in Toronto, where I used to live. And so I was calling my friend, and you know, because I didn't have a Canadian SIM card, I was like, oh crap, how can I get through? But for some reason, I was able to text him and tell him to come pick me up so we can go grab my luggage at the previous stop. And what ended up happening is, for some reason, I stopped fixating so much on the luggage, and just because my friends were at the stop that I got off, some of them, and I started talking to my friends, and part of it, I realize that I have to stop fixating, or my point is that I have to stop fixating so much on what that goal is, what that initial goal is, and then just take a step back. Because when I took a step back, I started talking to my friends. I realized, and there's a whole bunch of things. I'm still trying to process a dream, but I realized that I'm missing out on so much more than just, oh crap, I have to get that piece of luggage. You know, and in this way, or similar to that dream, I think we have to start examining ourselves, or start examining what is it that drives us. Is it the fear of not having enough? You know, are we fixating on a certain job, on a certain promotion, or, you know, I need to make the right decision on choosing a right job, because if I make the wrong choice, then my life won't turn out the way it should. You know, are we? Yeah, is it the fear that we won't, like, our lives won't turn out as it should, or is it even the fear of making the wrong choice? So we're so performance-oriented these days that we always have to make the right choice. And what if I make the wrong choice? And that could lead me to making even more wrong choices on all this and that. And there's this worry that drives us. But should it be that fear of whatever it is? Or should it be the fear of the Lord that drives us? You know, Tyler spoke about this a few weeks ago, the fear of the Lord in our hearts. And should we stop focusing on this tiny little thing and start expanding our view and saying, you know, there's so much more. There's so much more that God wants for me, and have that drive us. Right? Because it says in the passage here today, in verse 12, who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way he should choose. So when I first read this, I didn't really understand it, because it's sort of a backwards way. It would have made more sense that the man who fears, or God will instruct the man, or God will instruct the man who fears him. So when you are filled with the fear of the Lord, you are walking according to his way. You are doing the things that are pleasing to the Lord. And then God will instruct him in the way that he should choose. So whatever decision that is facing you, whether it's job, relationship, work, even ministry, should I get involved in this ministry, or whatever ministry that I should join, if you're fearing the Lord, then there shouldn't be any worry in making that wrong choice. It says, it follows later, his soul will abide in prosperity and his descendants will inherit the land. See, for the Israelites back then, that was their fear. Will my descendants inherit my land? Will my descendants have a place to call home? And with the fear of the Lord, all this is taken care of. See, I think I know for me, and I'm sure for a lot of you guys, that we look at people and we see them, that we see that they're successful, not just in life, you know, they might have good jobs, but also maybe successful in family. And you're always wondering, you know, what is their secret? How do they do it? They seem like they have everything together. You know, what is that key? And you have all these motivational speakers saying, you know, the secret to life is this and this and this. You should be doing this because this. Let me tell you what the key is to having a good life, right? And it's, you know, they're all smart people, but the smarter person here is God, and he says it. The secret, and it's very simple. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him. And he will make them know his covenants. My eyes are continually toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. So if we fill ourselves with God, if we continually fear him, he will make known to us his secrets, his wisdom, his knowledge. And isn't that much more valuable than what the world tells us? See, his covenant with Abraham was to bless the nations, was to bless him as well. was to give them a land, to give them a place to call home, to give them peace. And that is what he promises in his word. If we fear him, then we will know his covenant. We will know his peace. He will give to us all the things that we need. And there's no need to have this fear of not having enough, or, you know, this fear, the fear of the world. So as Adelaide comes up for worship, yeah, as we worship today, just examine our hearts. You know, you may examine our hearts and see what God is really trying to say to you in terms of, you know, what is your fear, or what are the things that drives you to do the things that you do? Is it the fear of the Lord? Is it, or are there other intentions at work? You know, like I said before, it's not a bad thing to want these things, but are you so fixated on it that you can't think of anything else? Are you so fixated on it like I was in my dream on getting my luggage and making my plane that it caused you so much anxiety that you couldn't do anything else? So as we pray today, as we worship, I really just ask the Lord to reveal these things to you. And as he reveals them, ask him to help you replace that fear with the fear of the Lord.
Sweetest.
Yes, Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for always being there, Lord. We thank you for just being there through the storm, God. No matter what we may go through, God, no matter what may come to us, all the fears that we have, that you are still there, God. I pray, Lord, for all of us today, Father, as we live our lives, God, may we fill ourselves with the fear of the Lord, God, not fear of man, not fear of performance or not performing, God, not fear of making that optimal choice, God. Fill ourselves with the fear of you, God, to rest and abide in you, Lord. So, Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you. Let's turn to our Tuesday morning prayer focus. Or let's pray for those in our community that are battling cancer and are undergoing chemo and radiation therapy. Let's pray for the healing of God to come upon their lives. Let's pray for those who are sick and also have yet to receive the Lord. Let's pray for healing and also for the Word of God to come into their lives and for just for their hearts to be open to the Word of the Lord and to the offer that God gives us, that grace. Pray for those in our community who have various infirmities. Again, yeah, let's pray for the healing of God to be upon their lives as well, and also for the family members to continue to pray and pray for them. Let's pray for those in our community that are looking for jobs. Let's pray for open doors. Let's also pray just for the peace of God to be on them as they look for jobs and for worry to not have a place in this process. Let's pray for, turn to our Tuesday morning focus. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the government of Hong Kong that they administer the city well. Let's also pray for the wealth gap in Hong Kong. And let's also pray for revival amongst are God's people in Hong Kong, and that it will spread to the rest of Hong Kong. Let's also pray for the churches and the various ministries that we partner with: Sports Service International, Shanti, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, CSW, the Hong Kong Korea Church, and also the Hong Kong students. The senior forms are studying for the public exams. Let's just pray for the peace of God to be on them, and for the pressure that they face just to really dissipate, and for them to know that they are loved no matter what the results may be. Pray for the staff. Pray that we continue to work well and are just good stewards of helping run this church. Pray for PSM. He's a little bit sick today. Also pray for Pastor Mary and Yiling. They're away in California in a conference, and just pray that God will bring them back safely. And also for Juan and new baby Joel, as well as Nate, who's on sabbatical. Let's pray for the worship, sound, and AV team. Let's really pray for a heart of worship, and that we strive to be excellent in what we do, but more than that, to really lead the congregation into worship, not putting on a show, but really opening up the sanctuary for everyone to come before the throne of God. Pray for the hospitality ministries, the welcoming barista. Let's pray for joy in what they do week in and week out. Let's also pray for love to exude from them, as well as friendliness. Let's pray. Pray for house churches for tonight: Fontana, Hopewell, Kowloon, Garden, OPR, Soho, and Westville. Let's pray for the leaders. Pray for the members. Let's pray, cover the entire time tonight, that the presence of God is with them, and that they are able to just grow deeper together. Thank you. pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today, God. We thank you just for having this place to come to and to be in your presence first thing in the morning, God. Lord, we give to you our time, Lord, the first fruits, God, in this morning, God. So, Father, be with us today as we go to our jobs, God, as we go to the lives that you have given to us, Lord. May we honor you, God, in all that we do, Father. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and we'll see you tomorrow.